The lesson tonight is on the subject of hell. And if you ask someone a question of what do you think about hell or how do you feel about hell, there's a picture that comes to mind, and we may think of it and may chuckle a little bit at this picture of how what some feel about hell, that they think that even in burning fire, everything is okay. And that is a sad reality to think about. That everything is fine according to what some people feel about hell today. We could look at how hell is pictured or talked about or not even, or we could say the lack of wanting to be talked about today. Hell could be considered something that's ugly, and sometimes people do not want to preach about this very subject. We don't want to talk about this side of things when we talk about the justice or the fairness of God, that He will reward those who diligently seek Him. We want to talk about that. And that's good to talk about those things. And sometimes we can be effective in sharing the gospel message with others about sharing about the goodness of what happens in heaven. But we also know that as much as God is fair with those and rewards those, He will punish those. But again, the depiction that some want to do is just kind of think that everything's fine. Everything's okay. I want you to think with me tonight. D.L. Moody offered these words. He said, "Don't let scoffers laugh you into hell. They cannot laugh you out of it." And how true that statement is. That some will want to make light of hell and think that it is something that is okay. It's not that big of a deal. It's something that we can just kind of laugh about. We can make jokes about. And what has happened is that we've seen in our world that so many have believed that very thought of hell. So don't let the scoffers laugh, because if one is resting in hell, and I'm using resting very, very loosely, when one is there and hearing those words, that's eternity. And you can't laugh your way out of it. The Bible teaches us and describes things about hell, the realities of what hell is. As we think about it, people, I know there was a movie growing up, I can remember seeing where people were sitting there dancing and listening to rock music, listening to certain songs that you can probably imagine, thinking that hell's not that big of a deal. Don't let that be the case. The Bible paints a different picture than what man teaches and what man may believe about hell. Some would believe that it's not that bad, or even some would believe that you can be able to, if you were resting in hell, again using that loosely, that you can one day work your way out of it. That's not what the Bible teaches. So I want you to think tonight about the realities of hell. Hebrews chapter 10. Beginning with verse 26 and looking down to verse 31 is where we want to begin this evening. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 down to verse 31. I invite you to open your Bibles with me. Again, appreciate you taking the time and opening your Bibles this week. And hopefully as we have examined scriptures together, that we have a better understanding of things. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning of verse 26, it says, "For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and a fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on this testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much more or how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord.' And again, 'The Lord will judge his people.' It says here in verse 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You know, as we look, there was punishment that was rendered for those under the old covenant. Hebrew author talks about the differences between the old and new law. Talks about the differences between the old covenant and the new covenant. Here is no exception as we look at this. Talking about different things. Under Moses' law, what happened to those who rejected it? Under Moses' law, those who did not follow. What happened? There were consequences for such action. And in fact, as we look, Moses was one of those people who was not able to enter into the promised land that God promised for the children of Israel. But as we look, the depiction kind of changes a little back and forth. As we look at verse 27, it talks about a fearful expectation of judgment. And what happens? A fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. Then he goes on, after talking a little bit about Moses and the law of Moses, he goes on to say, how much more of a punishment will come for those who trample the things of the Son of God? Jesus came, as we could look in Hebrews chapter 1, going back to the very beginning of Hebrews 1, where it says, God chose Christ, His Son, to deliver His word in these last days. How much more is it to find out about the punishment that is rendered to us for not counting God's word or God's, following God in His word in a worthy way? How about a punishment for those who have insulted, as it says there in the New King James, the Spirit of grace? And look at verse 31 as we look at this. God said He's going to take vengeance in verse 31. But in verse 31, it says here that it is a fearful thing. Again, a reminder, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It is a scary thing. We talk about that word fear. Now, it can be used in different ways. It is a scary thing to fall into the hands of the living God. There are some different names that we look and read in our Bibles that would relay to identifying hell. Identifying, we talk straight forth, hell. We read about hell mentioned as a name in the Bible. When we are understanding what hell is, and we're going to talk more about what hell is, the realities of it. But that's one of the identifying names. We've seen in our translations and over time, we see the word Sheol used as a way to describe hell. We could talk about torments or the Hadean realm, where it kind of references to some of this from time to time. We could look at that with the account in Luke with the rich man and Lazarus. We talk about the word punishment, kind of as a permanent thing, or a place where those who are punished are this place of punishment. We talk about a place of death, the second death. Revelation talks about the second death being eternally separated from God, a way of describing hell. And again, not only death, but the second death. Hell, as we look at this and think about the reality, is that hell is real. Some will not believe that hell is real because we cannot see it with our own eyes right now. That's how some would feel about hell, that I cannot see this place that is described in the Bible. Therefore, I won't believe, so to speak. But hell is real. When we look back about the rich man, as we look, was in hell, was in a place of torment, a place of pain, a place of suffering. Look, if you would, in Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16 and verses 23 down to verse 25. Luke chapter 16, beginning of verse 23, down to verse 25. Luke chapter 16, beginning of verse 23. We're getting descriptions of this place of pain and suffering. Hell is a real place. It says here in Luke 16, beginning verse 23, and being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes, saw Abraham afar off, Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things. Likewise, Lazarus, evil things. Now he is comforted, and you are tormented. The rich man was placed in a place where there was pain and suffering. A place where he looked up and saw Abraham resting in a different place. We see that both died and that both entered into two different places. By understanding and reading this, we can see that there is a description. A person went to a place of torment, a place of pain, a place of suffering. Not only do we look at this and understand that hell, where the rich man was, but also it is prepared. We think about the idea of preparing something. We understand that means there's some sort of substance, so to speak. We look in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. Matthew 25, verse 41. Matthew 25, verse 41. It says here, he will say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. There's a place that has been prepared for those who are not obedient. As we look and see, we can look later, and we're going to talk about this here in a little while, but heaven is also a place that was prepared. We understand when someone's preparing something that, okay, that means, you know, friends, I'm preparing a place for, you know, Dennis and Regina, they open their home to me, but we prepared a room for you. I understand there's going to be a place for me to be able to be. We get some depictions of, you know, this being a real place. We understand fire. We can see fire. We've seen fire around us. Right now in Arkansas, they're big on burning the fields, getting ready for rice season, getting ready for other crops and everything. And every field is on fire down there to kind of replenish all the different nutrients in the ground. And we can see fire. Hell is described and understood that fire is there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and looking at verses 8 and 9. It talks about a place that is real, a place for those that are disobedient to God, a place for those that do not know God. And we get some more descriptions of this place. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9 says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Fire is there. Again, using some of our physical sense, we can understand what this would be like. It's not pleasant to be around fire at times. You know, some people, we can get next to fire to get warm and everything, but there are times where you don't want to be next to it. You want to be away from it. From an eternal fire. It's something that's real. It's something that is not pleasant. We see all the things burning in there. And we know that, you know, if we put our hand in that fire, what's going to happen to our hand? It's not pleasant. It hurts. We can understand the pain we feel from fire. And hell is described as a place of fire. And what we also know is that a soul can rest in this place of fire, in this place of hell. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 29. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 29. Or 28, I'm sorry. Matthew 10, verse 28. It says here, and do not fear those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both the soul and body in hell. Again, we talk about God being fair, being just with all things. Fear the one that could be able to judge us. And if we're judged as being unworthy, if we judge as being unfaithful to God, as one who is lost, as one who's given into sin, fear the one that can be able to give us those words of doom, depart from me into the everlasting fire and into the place of darkness. We're going to be talking about some of these things here in just a few moments. It's not pleasant. Again, thinking about this idea, some have looked at the idea of hell. Hell's fun. Hell, you know, some people want you to believe that hell is fun. You know, we just begin looking at some of these scriptures. How does that sound fun? I don't understand how we can be able to depict, how people today can be able to say, it's not that bad. It won't be that bad. Everything's going to be fine as we look at that picture at the beginning of the lesson. What we know as we look in the scriptures is that suffering is found. In Jude chapter 1, in one chapter, Jude verse 7. Go back towards the end of the New Testament in Jude verse 7. Jude in verse 7. It says here, Jude verse 7. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality, gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. What do we know about Sodom and Gomorrah as we're reading our Bibles? And if you look at what's going on in some of the different archaeological digs, there's more and more evidence of that area where Sodom and Gomorrah is. That yes, there is that fire, that eternal fire, where that is a wasteland now. What do we learn about what happens with Sodom and Gomorrah after they'd sinned? Abraham pleading if we can find 50, if we can find 45, 40, get down, you know, if we can find 10 people, will you save the city? They couldn't find even that. God rained fire and brimstone down on this very city. And all the inhabitants in that city, and all the even cities around Sodom and Gomorrah, were found to suffer a painful death. How does that sound like fun? The idea in Matthew 25, verse 30, you know, we read again there. We just read verse 41 just a little bit ago, but look again there in Matthew 25. And if you want to keep your thumb marked there, we'll come back there again in another point here in just a little bit. But Matthew 25 and verse 30, we'll read about the parable of the talents. You have ones that had gained for the master, they were told they were faithful, and they were able to enter into the joy of the Lord. And you got the one that had the one talent. He was called wicked and lazy. In verse 30, it says, "And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Here, clench your teeth so hard. Or feel like you're going to break them or crack a tooth. That takes a lot of pressure. And that is, you know, when you think about it, that's an uncomfortable feeling. Case in point, I'm going to speak about myself. I don't mean to give all my wonderful health secrets away, but I had a tooth I had to get extracted a few years ago. And it was one of my 12-year-old molars. It got infected and it just... You know, I had a wisdom tooth that got infected and it attacked the next tooth. And I can remember, they gave me 5 shots of Novocaine in my mouth. Now, it would have been great to talk to me afterward with that. But here was 5 shots of Novocaine. And they were sitting there you could feel how deeply rooted that tooth is. That's what, you know, they put a bite guard in your mouth. And I felt like I was going through the bite guard. When they were pulling that out, even though I had all them shots of Novocaine, it was still an excruciating experience. I know, you know, that we've all probably had something, but again, I'm clenching down on my mouth. That's what we do sometimes when we're feeling some intense pain. How does that sound like fun? How does that? Again, we also look at what hell is described as being a lake of fire. Revelation 21 in verse 8. Revelation 21 and verse 8. They're right at the end of the New Testament, one of the last chapters. Revelation 21 and verse 8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is a second death. Dennis and I, today, we walked around the lake, Freeman Lake, in Elizabethtown. And it was a pleasant experience. It's a pleasant walk. Nice weather. Water gave a nice little cool breeze off the lake as we were doing a walk around today. How does a lake of fire sound? It's a contrasting difference. We can say, fire, again, hot, unbearable. Wouldn't be one I want to walk around. How does that sound fun? A place for those that are living in sin, a place that will burn with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Hell is dark. Hell is a dark place. You have the Mammoth Cave here, and I haven't been able to experience that one, but I've experienced many trips to, we went through the caverns in Missouri, Lake of the Ozarks. And when we got down to one of the caverns, you start getting deeper and deeper, winding down, and the light gets less and less to the point where you cannot see anything in front of you. Hell is described as a place that's dark, and a place that is there where we get further and further away from the light. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 12 that he is the light of the world. As we get further and further away from the light of the world, it will become dark. As we get further and further away from the lights, whether the street lights or whether it's the sun, as we look, the sun's beginning to set. We're getting further and further away from the light. What happens? It gets dark. When we get further and further away from the Son of God, the Son of Light, or the light of the world, it gets dark. When we're in a place where it's utter darkness, that means there is no light. When we're in a place of eternal darkness, there is no light there. But what else do we know about this? Well, we can see that those that are disobedient to God, as we read just a moment ago there in Matthew 25, verse 30, those that are weeping in the place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, we also get a description there. That's a place of eternal darkness. There is no light. There is no light for this place. What we get an understanding and a description of is that when something is dark, we are in a secluded place. Jonah describes such a place in Jonah chapter 2. Turn back to the Old Testament with me. Jonah chapter 2, when Jonah is swallowed by the great fish that God had prepared, there's some realities that Jonah faces there and what he describes. Jonah chapter 2, beginning of verse 1, looking down to verse 6. It says, then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. He says, out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas. And the floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight. Notice again, he's trying to get some of these descriptions of everything. I'm far away from you. Jonah thought he was at the end of it all. He was at the furthest point in the belly of this fish. He says, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. Verse 5, it says, the waters surrounded me even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains, the earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought me up, my life, brought up my life from the pit. O Lord, my God. Jonah, in the belly of this fish, far enough away from all mankind at that point, said he was even further away from God. Being covered with weeds, being in this place, as he said, he called it Sheol. I'm in a place where I do not desire to be. We look at all these descriptions. And yet, as we look and see in our Bibles, we read all these things, yet some will make the great claim that it's still not that bad. Some will even go to the lengths of saying that it's not eternal. When I say something, or when we say something is eternal, when the Bible speaks about something eternal, it can be hard for us with our fleshly minds to fully comprehend what it means. What does it mean to be eternal? It means forever. We can't, it's hard for us to comprehend forever. After this life comes eternity. After this physical life, we're going to be judged. Be found faithful or we're found unfaithful. Hell is eternal. If we hear words of separation, that is it. There is no being able to go back and forth to these two different places. Hell is a place that welcomes sin. In Matthew 25, let me go back here again. Matthew 25, verse 36. Matthew 25, verse 46. Those on the left hand, those who are found disobedient to God, those who have not been found faithful, it says these will go away into everlasting punishment. There's a different word that also we could say eternal. Everlasting. It lasts forever. These will go away into the everlasting punishment. But the righteous into eternal life. You know, if one wants to continue in sin, hell will welcome sin left and right. It has a worthy wage. Romans 6:23, it says, the wages of sin is death. The separation. If we want to continue in sin, as the world wants us to believe, as the devil wants us to believe, that sin is okay, that sin is all right, that hell, everything's going to be fine. If we want to continue on that path, we can say that it has a worthy wage. And again, against popular belief, you cannot pass from hell. If God says, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. If God says to depart me into this place of eternal darkness, of this place of eternal fire, this real place, when we hear those words, we cannot pass from there. The rich man was reminded of the sad affair of his life and how he was resting now in the place eternally separated from God. You know, as we read there a moment ago in Luke chapter 16, looking at his account, you know, he's in a place where I just want some drops of water to cool my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. I'm living in a place where I am suffering, a place where I do not want to be. In fact, as we look at this, he didn't want his family to go into this place that he was in. Because as we read in Luke chapter 16, verse 26, and besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those pass from there to us. Those that are in a place of rest cannot pass into this place of suffering to offer that relief even. Nor is vice versa the case where those who are in this place of torment, this place of pain, this place called hell, cannot pass into heaven. What a sad state of affairs to fall into this place. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God when we are not ready to meet Him, when we are living in sin. But I don't want you to just think about this tonight. I want you to think with me just for a moment. Give me a few more minutes of your time. As I want you to think about the truth about heaven. Just like with the place called hell, the realities of hell, heaven is real. Just like when we say hell is real, heaven is real also. John chapter 14, beginning of verse 1, Jesus had told His disciples that He was going to be departing from them, going to go to the cross and going to go die. Peter did not want that to happen, and he was willing to stop Jesus from going through and doing the Father's will. And then we see that Jesus spoke to Peter and said, "You're going to deny me and depart from me just like everyone else." In chapter 14, we begin off there. "Let not your heart be troubled." After all those things that take place, don't let your heart be troubled. "Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Just like as hell is a prepared place for those, for the devil and his angels, those who are found obedient to God, Jesus has prepared a place for you and I if we are found faithful. Hell is not a fun place, but we know the truth about heaven is a place of joy. Heaven is a place where we are going to be able to express so much joy. We're not going to be suffering and hurting anymore in this life. We read this verse earlier on in this series of lessons this week, but I want to draw your attention again to Revelation chapter 21 and looking at verse 4. Revelation 21 and verse 4. It says here, "God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." There's no more suffering. This is a place that we are looking forward to. This is a place that we can be with God. That we can be a place where we're not suffering or hurting anymore. It's a place where there is light. Hell is that place that is far and far away from light. Well, heaven is a place where there is the great light. Revelation 21, verse 23. Just go a few verses ahead there. It says here, verse 23. "The city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light." The picture of this eternal city, this new Jerusalem, this new city that God has prepared, a place where there's light. And God, the glory of God's light, and the Lamb, Jesus, is the light. Heaven is eternal. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11. "This is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this is the life in His Son." God has given you and I eternal life, everlasting life, a place where we can be forever. We see the realities of hell described in the Bible. We could look at many other passages. We could also understand and look at many more passages talking about the truth about heaven. But we see there are two contrasting different places. They both have similar qualities of being real, of expressing different types of emotions. A place where, you know, darkness or light, both are eternal. We have the ability to choose which path we want to go, which place we want to go. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, but there is a joy that we can experience by hearing words of welcome to be with God in Christ eternally. I hope as you think with me tonight that you have that desire to seek the promise of heaven. Maybe this lesson has touched you in some sort of way that you understand the realities of hell and you do not want to go to that place, and that you want to seek a place of rest. And through God's word, we have instruction on one what must do to be saved. That's through hearing the gospel, believing Jesus Christ, Son of God, repenting of your sins that Jesus is the Christ, or repenting of sins, confessing your belief that Jesus is the Christ, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. You can have your sins washed away, forgiven, and you can begin a life anew. And being faithful to God, you can have the hope and promise of eternal life. If that is your desire this evening to seek heaven, the invitation is open. I appreciate your patience and time this week. If you're here tonight and you are a child of God, but you've given back into the ways of sin, you need to repent. Hell welcomes the sinner. And if we've fallen into sin, we can be welcomed into hell. But if your desire is to not seek that place, to seek the place of rest and the promise of joy and light and life, then you need to repent of your sins tonight. Turn away from your sins and turn back to God. If you need prayers of forgiveness to help you be restored, we'll be glad to pray with you tonight. We know that we're facing many obstacles in this life. Temptations come our way. Many different people will laugh about the subject of hell and not even think that it's a real thing. But the reality is, it is real. God will punish those who do not obey His will. And maybe you're facing some moments like that. Maybe you're facing temptation. If you need prayers to continue to fight the good fight of faith, to continue to overcome the temptations in your life, we'll be glad to pray with you. The invitation is open. Number 284 is our invitation song. If there's anyone that needs to make their life right with God in any way, we urge and plead with you to please let us know how we can help you. And you can do it now while together, while we stand and while we sing.